The National Broadcasting Company presents a special bulletin from the Press Radio Bureau, London, England. The United Press announces that British Foreign Secretary Anthony Eden has resigned because of differences with Prime Minister Chamberlain and other cabinet ministers on England's policy toward Germany and Italy. Eden's resignation follows a long session of the cabinet, which convened immediately after Hitler's speech in Berlin. This bulletin is from the Press Radio Bureau. Further details will be found in your newspaper. Men have searched the earth, the air, even the sun and stars in their never-ending quest for knowledge. And now, in an NBC educational feature, The World is Yours, the United States Department of the Interior Office of Education brings you the wonders of that unique establishment, the Smithsonian Institution, dedicated to the increase and diffusion of knowledge.
Couldn't forget him. He was the ganglingest, awkwardest fellow that ever stepped over a 10-rail snake fence. He had to duck to get through a door. Feared to be all joints, Abe did. And them eyes of his'n, soft and sad, like a sheep going to slaughter. Yet they had a certain kind of look in them, a look that seemed to say that he was on to himself. The Illinois folks where he lived at used to say that there's something peculiar some about Abe. Yeah, I guess there was. Lots of times he broke out laughing when others didn't see nothing to laugh about. They'd look at him kind of strange, the folks would, but his maw just let it pass as a sign of his thoughts working their own way. She was kind of proud of Abe, his maw was. Of course, she wasn't his real ma. His real ma died when he was only a tyke. Near broke Abe's heart, that did. Probably helped to pour all that suffering into his eyes. But his new ma sort of fitted in nice and easy and loved him like she would an ugly duckling. Yeah, that was Abe, all right. Ugly duckling. Everybody said so. But I reckon they never looked hard at his eyes. Them eyes didn't seem to match with the rest of his raw bones and hulking strength. Most of the time they was sad, as though they was seeing things others couldn't. And other times they'd light up as though he was actually enjoying life. Of course, that's when he was playing those tricks of his'n. Like that day there in Indiana where they lived. His ma was storming around that little old log cabin they lived in. Mad Lord, she was a-boiling. I can see her now, stamping around, first looking up at the whitewashed ceiling, then clenching her big hands to hold back the anger.
Thunder and tarnation! Who's been walking all over my fresh whitewashed ceiling? If and I lay my hands on the one that done that, I'll skin him alive. Abe! Abraham Lincoln!
You call me, Ma?
You let me Satan come in here.
What's wrong, Ma?
You know well enough what's wrong. Come in here.
Why, Ma? Look at the ceiling.
Don't drop your jaw down on your chest as though you never seen it before.
Why, Ma?
Don't get me out of that why, Ma business. Look at the size of you, 15 years old and playing these tricks. Abe Lincoln, stop gawking at the ceiling and look down here at me. And wipe that grin off your face. How did those footprints get up there? Walking up this side of the wall, across the ceiling, and down t'other side. Look at me. How did they get there?
I guess I done it, Ma.
All right, Abe. How did you get them footprints up on the ceiling?
Miss Pike will tend me if I tell.
Miss Pike, what's she got to do with it?
I used her young'un to do it.
You used her? Abe Lincoln, you better talk and talk fast.
Well, I let young Pike walk through the mud puddle outside. Then I turned him upside down and walked his feet across the ceiling.
Abraham Lincoln.
You ain't mad, Ma.
Of course I'm mad. Come here. Look at me, Abe. Why do you do things like that to your ma?
Shucks, I didn't mean nothing.
You're an awful good boy, Abe. You're strong and willing, and you've got little brains, too. Now, clean those footprints off the ceiling and don't do it no more, you hear?
All right, Ma. I'm sorry. Say, Ma, what does predestination mean?
Lori, what made you think of that?
I just saw it in this book I was reading. Well, that's a powerful big word.
Predestination. That's just a kind of highfalutin way of saying that something is going to happen and you can't do nothing about it. Like saying God has things all planned out for you and you just have to do them. Mm-hmm. It's in there, Abe. In your head and in your heart, too. You just couldn't change it if you tried.
Then according to that, God is heading me for something and it just ain't within my power to stop it, huh?
That's right.
Ma, here's another one, too. See, this word right here, independence.
That's what your grandpa fought for, Abe, only 30 or 40 years ago. We won our independence from England. Now we're an independent country, and you and me are independent people.
Independent. How about those Negro people which belong to the Adams up the road? They independent?
No, not really. They're slaves, Abe. A slave ain't got no rights or no independence. Besides, them kind of things ain't worth worrying about.
I just was wondering.
That's why you weren't meant to be no ordinary farmer, Abe. Keep on wondering. And remember, face beauty is only skin deep. Soul ugliness goes through to the bone. Don't mind what nobody says about your looks.
Oh, they don't bother me. I know I'm sort of ugly. Even Pa says so.
Don't pay your Pa no mind, or anybody else when they say things like that. You just get as much book learning as you can. There's plenty of room for it in that big head of yourn.
Gosh, Ma, it's time for me to start hiking if I'm going to get to school.
Lordy, yes. You better hurry.
Yeah.
And here's a potato to chow on if you get hungry.
Thanks.
And be sure to carry your shoes as far as the school. They don't grow on trees, you know.
All right, Ma. Bye.
Bye, Abe.
Thunk or thought?
Well, the book says there ain't no such word as thunk. so thought must be what it done.
That's the book? What's the name of it, Abe?
You really want to know?
Yeah. Ain't ashamed of your reading matter, are you?
Well, boys, the name of the book is English Grammar in Familiar Lectures, accompanied by a compendium embracing a new systematic order of parsing, a new system of punctuation, exercises in syntax, and a key to the exercises designed for the use of school and private learners by Samuel Kirkham.
Well, if you don't beat on, what good are all them things, Abe?
Makes talking sound better if you know what's in this book.
Any good stories in it?
Of course not. Just tells you how to speak English.
Oh, shucks, I know that already.
Just a minute, fellas. I got a customer.
Hey, fellas, let's play a trick on Abe. Hide his book on him.
You want to get skunned? Abe will throw you from here to Cripple Creek if you catch his book.
Shucks, Abe wouldn't hurt a flea.
Don't you think it. Abe Lincoln can lick any man in this country. And don't think he'd stop just because you're old enough to be his paw.
Yeah, well, that ain't so. He ain't never tackled nobody what wasn't his size, no matter what.
Well, I ain't taking no chances.
Hey, you know, fellas, Abe's a fool in a way, though, always peering into them books. Says he wants to get knowledge.
Well, we all have our faults, I guess. Abe's good-hearted, though. My old woman says he's the good-heartedest feller she ever knew.
Yeah, but nature kind of played a dirty trick on Abe, giving him such a big heart. Done up in such ugly trimmings.
Listen, my old woman says Abe will amount to something someday. I asked her what she thought he'd ever amount to outside of being champion wrestler and storyteller. And what do you think she said?
What would she say?
She says he's going to be president of the United States.
Hey,
what? Imagine Abe a president.
Hey, you tobacco chawn loafers. Where at can I find this Abe Lincoln?
Why, that's him over there behind the counter.
You Abe Lincoln?
That's me.
I can lick you.
Can you?
You bet I can. I'm Little Billy, all the way from North Fork of Muddy Run. I can outrun, outjump, outswim, chaw more tobacco and spit less. Drink more whiskey and keep sober than any man in these parts. And I can lick you.
Well, what's your grudge against me, Little Billy?
You're homelier than me, that's what. I swore if I ever found a man homelier than me, I was going to make catfish bait out of him. And you're it.
Lordy, stranger. Am I homelier than you?
Well, I didn't believe it myself till I saw you. But it's true, and you can't get away with it.
Well, if I'm homelier than you, here's the knife. Cut me up.
Hey! You making fun of me?
Well, no, not exactly.
Now, looky here. How am I going to fight you if you keep laughing?
Well, I sure would like to cooperate, Billy, but...
You'd like to what?
Cooperate. I'd like to join in, make you stay pleasant.
Oh, well, that's all right. I thought maybe you were stealing my thunder by being homelier than me, but, well, I guess you ain't. Let's shake and have a drink.
Well, I don't drink myself. Maybe the boys will join you.
What do you say, you lop-eared bums? Drink?
Hey, come on, Abe. Tell Little Billy about the time you and Clem Jenkins went to the coon hunt.
Hey, come on, Abe. Tell him.
Lordy, Billy, you'll die laughing. Go on, tell him, Abe.
Yeah, that was Abe all over. He could laugh his way out of more arguments than any man could count. But he couldn't laugh his way out of the scrapes he got in. You see, Abe wasn't very smart when it come to money. He trusted too many people. And that's what sent the store into bankruptcy. And him, too. You see, after a while, he got to own part of the store. And then he got so interested in learning and reading that, well, half the time the place was closed. Well, when it went under, Abe's partners gun out. But not Abe, though. He stayed and faced the music. And the people never forgot him for it, neither. Said it was mighty honest of him to do it. Well, then, out of a job for the first time in his life, he surprised everybody by saying he was running for the Illinois legislature. His first dabble in politics. Nobody thought he had a chance. Matter of fact, he didn't. Never even came close to getting in, but... Well, he'd had a taste of politics and liked it. Well, after that, Abe just drifted around New Salem from one thing to another. was getting along about 26 then, and so far he wasn't what you'd call a howling success. About $1,000 in debt, and not caring much about anything else but reading and learning. Lord knows what for, they used to say. It ain't doing him any good. And then, well, I wasn't going to tell about this. I guess you've all heard about it anyway. About Abe and Ann Rutledge. You see, up to the time Ann fell in love with Abe, girls never paid much notice of him. They was too busy laughing at his jokes or at his bony awkwardness to take him very serious. Well, Ann Rutledge was beautiful. There ain't no other word. She was beautiful. Abe adored her, too. And that's what made him take it so hard when she went like that. Malaria, it was. He sat with her two nights. And finally, when the last spark of life winked out in her frail little body, Abe just seemed to go to pieces. His eyes looked like a poor little mongrel pup's, seeming to say he'd been beaten till he couldn't stand it no longer. At night, he'd sit by the fire and stare into it. His eyes just dead things. Didn't see nothing around him. It was useless to try to talk to him. He'd just look at you with that lost, heartbroken stare, saying nothing. But the folks in New Salem held out their arms to Abe and took care of him, trying to help him fight off that terrible hurt. But they knew that no matter what they did, Abe was a changed man. You could tell it in his eyes. Well, finally, seemed as though Abe was getting along better. He got himself elected to the Illinois legislature. Then a few months later, at 28, Abe left New Salem forever. Said he was going to Springfield to hang out his shingle. Abe was a lawyer. Full-fledged, with $7 in his pocket and $1,000 in debt. Well, he kept dabbling in politics, and finally there was talk that a certain Mary Todd had her eye on Abe, going around telling everybody about what a great man he was going to be. She had confidence in his talking powers, but most of all, she had confidence in herself. She knew that if she married that man, she could send him places. Well, you know what happened. They got married. And not long after that, Abe was sent to Washington as congressman. Seems like she was really doing him some good. But Abe wasn't any different when he came back than when he'd gone. Only a little more stooped. Yeah, he was earning his name, Old Abe. But while the whole country was talking about states' rights and slavery and all them things that was important, Abe stayed in his own little bailiwick, thinking them things out for himself, not cutting any great figure outside his home state. Well, Mary, well, that's his wife, she got kind of impatient with him sometimes, especially about the time that him and Stephen Douglas was running against each other for senator. But he didn't seem to mind. Like the day he was sitting in the parlor, just sitting, thinking, Mary comes storming into the room, mad as sin she was.
Abe! Abraham Lincoln!
Oh, Lord. What is it, Mary?
Look at this ice bill.
Well, don't shake it in my face that way.
Don't you see what it says? $1.52 for ice. That Will Seaver knows very well we haven't bought that much ice.
Oh, Will wouldn't lie to you, Mary.
There you go. No wonder there's so much debt in this house. You trust everyone as though they were your brother.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Go out there and tell him that we won't pay a cent more than $1. Go on. Get your long legs off of that chair and get out there.
All right. Never can relax around here. Hi, Will.
Hi, Abe.
Well, what is the missus at you for this time, Will?
Now, look, Abe, I hate to be always causing this trouble, but, well, just look for yourself. Don't that say $1.52 there in my book? 10 pounds of ice Friday, 5 Monday, Then Wednesday...
All right, Will, all right. How much? $1.52.
That's right.
Here you are. But don't you dare let Mary know.
Oh, thank you, Abe.
Warm today. Business must be good.
Oh, fair to middling. Did your speech last night?
Yeah, I saw you and the missus. How is she?
Oh, pretty good. Says if and I don't vote for you, she'll scout me.
Thinks I'd make a good senator.
Yes.
Huh?
I think you had it all over Douglas last night.
Well, that's saying a lot, Will. Stephen Douglas is a good man.
Yes, he is. But you cornered him last night.
Maybe. But Douglas is too smart to stay cornered long.
Say, Abe, the papers are full of last night's speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's one about... No, that ain't... I mean, that ain't the one I meant.
What's the matter, Will? Something I haven't seen?
Oh, it's nothing. Just that darn old letter to running off again.
Read it. What is it?
Well, it says... In his campaign against Stephen A. Douglas for senator last night, Mr. Lincoln's argument was truly ingenious. He has, however, a sort of assumed clownishness in his manner, which does not become him. It is assumed. Assumed for effect. Oh, I wouldn't pay no attention to that loud-mouth intro, Abe. Oh, shucks, when you get up there to talk... People all say you talk their language. And it's so, too. A couple of funny stories makes the hard facts easier to take.
You like the stories, Will?
Oh, sure I do, Lordy. You wouldn't be you unless you was like you are. I mean, that... Well, you know what I mean, Abe.
I know what you mean, Will. The editor thinks I get my speeches out of Joe Miller's joke book, though.
Abraham Lincoln, sitting out here chinning again.
I was just reprimanding Will, Mary. Don't let it happen again. You hear me, Will?
Huh? Oh, I'm powerful sorry, Mr. Lincoln. It won't happen again.
You ain't fooling me, Abe Lincoln. Come in here. What did I tell you about talking to the servants? Heavens, what'll a neighbor think of you?
I was just asking him how his wife was,
Mary. Do you have to sit on the steps to ask him that? You running for senator and hobnobbing with the likes of Will Seaver.
What's the matter with Will Seaver?
Look at your tie. Crooked. And by the way, Abe Lincoln, did you read what that man said in the newspapers about you? Calling you a clown. The idea. See the impression you're giving people? I don't know what I'm going to do with you, I swear.
Well, Abe didn't say much about what the newspaper said about him. Leastwise, he never showed it affected him. He just kept right on the same old way. Shucks, telling them stories and looking comical was just as natural on Abe as a little mole on his cheek. Douglas got to the ears of the people with his talk, but Abe got to their hearts. He was their kind and showed it. But that didn't help much when the legislature was picking out the senator. They picked Douglas. Well, Abe had lost out plenty of times before. The stores back in New Salem and Rutledge. And he'd been laughed at plenty, too. But he only shrugged his big shoulders and kept on. Then came the news that jolted almost everyone out of their seats. With 1860, the news broke, and pretty soon it had spread all over the country. Abe was nominated for president. Oh, everybody was asking who this long-armed, shaggy-headed feller Abe Lincoln was. After a while, the Republicans began to think that they'd made a mistake. But you know how things turned out. Abe got elected. Lots of people hated him, too, saying he was a lucky politician and all that stuff. But they were just taking their disgust with the whole mixed-up country out on him. The southern states was fuming something awful. There was lots of talk about secession and the slave question. Well, Abe walked right into office with all those things to worry about. And you know how that turned out, too. The war. With Abe taking lots of the blame for it. But when word come that it was over, people forgot all that in their joy, and they stormed up Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House, shouting his name.
He's our president! He's our president!
You want a speech, but I cannot make one at this time. There is one thing I will do, however. You have a band with you. There is one piece of music I have always liked. For the last few years, it has not been so popular here in the North. But now by virtue of my prerogative as president and commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy, I declare it contraband of war and our lawful prize. I ask the band to play Dixie. Yeah!
Perhaps there was. What's that?